Back together again, you and I chatting it up Thursday style, October 10th, 2024 on Connecticut Today. We started the show with a discussion that the state is asking for more federal help to combat speeding and reckless driving. Does this go beyond money, though, and come down to the criminal penalties involved in all this? Connecticut Conference of Municipalities Executive Director and CEO Joe DeLong stopped by to talk about the CCM's commitment to helping thousands of the state's at-risk youth. And only Bridgeport.com blogger Letty Grimaldi dropped by with his weekly update highlighting Success Village. So I was enjoying a nice drive to work earlier today, coming from my casa, heading down 91 to the split with 95 in New Haven, and then heading down 95 south here to beautiful downtown Milford, the Connoisseur Media Complex here, the Warp Core, Broadcast Central. And I'm not a shy person when I drive. I like to keep a good, how should we say, brisk pace when I'm on the road. And basically, the safest thing you can do is keep up with traffic, right? You don't go too fast. You don't go too slow. You don't want to have people darting in and out and left and right of you. You know, law enforcement officials, traffic officials have, you know, told me forever and ever, every time I've talked to them about this stuff over the past 30 or 40 years, they invariably say speed in and of itself is not a hazard. If everybody is behaving, everybody is keeping the proper space between them and the vehicle in front of them and the vehicle in back of them, you know all this. This is Drivers Ed 101, right? So I'm sitting there, and it's a nice, sunny, beautiful, little chilly, nice early fall morning here. And we're zooming along. And then, yes, that guy or that gal comes up, and I couldn't tell because, of course, there was limousine tint on the windows. And, oh, what a shock, there was a cover on the license plate where you could barely see a number or a letter. Gee, I'm sure that person isn't trying to cheat their way out of paying tolls and paying road fees, but I digress. But if you had to... if you had to pick a car, if you asked Central Casting, give me a moron who exemplifies the first story we're going to talk about, that it surely was that. You know, the aftermarket lights, the aftermarket exhaust system, which again sounded horrible, the limo tint on the windshield. I said, okay, so here this person comes. And I could see them coming out of my rearview mirror because, again, everybody was kind of behaving and this guy stuck out. Well, I was doing about, I glanced down at my speedometer, and I said, all right, I'm doing, what am I doing here? 73, 74. Look, you can't do 65 or 55. You get run over. So I'm in the right center lane, I think, in a four-lane stretch, and I'm behaving myself. Well, of course, this person is darting in and out. I mean, literally, if I was doing low 70s, all right, maybe I was touching 75, but I was, you know, keeping pace with traffic. So if I'm doing that, if I'm doing 70, 75, you know, stuff like that, this guy had to be, or gal, or it, or hermaphrodite, or something, I'm not sure. This person had to be doing 90. Yeah. 90, 95, because I always judge it as, well, how fast am I going? And then is that person going twice as fast, one-third as fast, whatever? So, you know, looking down, looking at my speedometer and looking what, you know, that person is doing, I say, well, there's a moron doing 90 or 95 miles an hour with, you know, darting in and out of traffic, you know, maybe leaving a foot or two, you know, away from plowing into somebody or cutting somebody off or clipping somebody. And I said, geez, you know, are we doing anything here? Well, lo and behold, yesterday, we get this story, and this is Justin Musinski's story here in the Hartford Courant, about how there are now more calls to crack down on speeding. And everybody says this is still a remnant, the residue, if you will, of the COVID-19 situation, because yeah, I was on the road during COVID, doing this job and some other jobs. Some days I work from home, but when I could, I would still go into the shop, into the store, and get it done. And, yeah, we all remember that, right? It was nice. It was nobody on the road. All right, some of us went a little faster. But apparently now there are morons, idiots, dummies, jackasses, road scholars out there who can't slow down. So what do you do about this? This is the whole thing. What do you do about this? All right? So we had a bunch of people get together yesterday, including our junior U.S. Senator Chris Murphy. And they're saying, well, you know, here's how you do this. Here's how you combat this. In part, you get more federal money. So, again, the initial thought here is to go at it with money. But I have a different thought. I have a different idea, which I doubt is something that will be specifically looked at. I love to get blown off the roof here if something happens. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. They actually had some common sense. Now, I don't think the common sense is going to prevail here, but we'll tell you about that. So, obviously, the first thought is money. But I think there's something else that has to be considered here. Now, this is never going to happen. Or it's not going to happen to the extent that I'd like it to happen, because there will be hue and cries of racism. There will be hue and cries of how is this person going to get to work. We will talk about that momentarily. And I think you'll agree with me. In fact, I know you'll agree with me. Most of you will. But will our lawmakers ever do this? Because the first inkling is to ask for more federal money. That's not going to do anything. Now, it could put more cops on the street, more speeding details. I get it. But in the end, you don't change attitudes with that. I'll tell you how you change an attitude and more. As we continue right here on WICC, it's Connecticut Today. Paul Pacelli with you. Hope your day is going well. The Connecticut Conference of Municipalities taking the wraps this week off an effort, a push to save what are called at-risk youth in Connecticut. Some startling numbers coming out about this recently. And joining us right now, return visit from the executive director and CEO of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, Joe DeLong, is here. Joe, it's Paul here again. Good afternoon. How are you?
Paul, I'm doing great. Thank you. We had a great day yesterday, and I woke up energized and ready to get to work.
All right.
So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Joe, because I wanted to, because this story actually broke a few months ago. The number here, it is a staggering number, and the cost, the economic cost of what are called at-risk youth. Define that, Joe, for people who may not have been following this story. And what are we talking about numbers-wise here?
So, you know, in total, you're talking about 119,000 young people across the state of Connecticut. But I think to really put that into stark terms and to think about it this way, one in five young people are in danger or at risk of not graduating high school or not graduating on time. So, I when you put that into perspective, think about, you know, a middle school basketball team. Mm-hmm. Going to watch a middle school basketball game and a team has five players out on the court. And you look at that and say, in Connecticut, statistics tell us one of those kids is in trouble. And so that's really where these numbers come from. Now you have the at-risk population, and then you have the population that's included in this as well, which is worse than at-risk, which are the ones who are disconnected.
Yeah.
By disconnected, they are just not engaged, whether it's in school or they're not engaged in the workforce in any way. And of course, part of that population also is what we define as severely disconnected. And those are ones who have really taken the school to prison pipeline, that are incarcerated or in some other type of, restrictive program in an effort to try to get their lives back together. And society has deemed them, you know, not to be acceptable to have the freedom that we would hope that all young people would have. So it's a pretty deep challenge, and it's a very costly challenge right now for Connecticut in terms of the money that we spend on programs, the money we spend to incarcerate young people, and certainly the $5.5 billion a year in GDP that we lose from these young people not being involved in a positive way in the economy.
Yeah, it's a staggering number, Joe. I was going to get into some of these numbers, and I'm glad you did. Listen, between you folks and the people that brought out these numbers recently, this is costing the state $750 million a year in societal costs and lost productivity. So, You know, that's a pretty good chunk of the pie here. What do we do here? How is CCM getting involved here with the state, and what breadth and length of a plan are we talking here?
Well, you know, the plan itself was just released yesterday. It's actually 22 aligned actions, which is a lot. And some of those aligned actions have, you know, four or five different subcategories within them. Mm-hmm. But to really simplify this, and of course we can go, you know, deeper if we have time, but to really simplify it, the first part of the plan really talks about taking all of the services and the programs and the good things that people are doing or trying to do across the state that are pretty much being done in a very fragmented way where there are tremendous gaps, and pulling those all together in one coordinated network. So people would still be doing what they're doing, but they would be part of a broader network, because what happens a lot of times with young people today is they may be getting a service that is a very valuable service that's doing a really good job to meet a specific need that that service provides. Mm-hmm. But if the other needs they have are not being met, then it's still a failed proposition. And so you have to think of young people almost like you would think of a hub and spoke on a car wheel. The young person's at the center, they're the hub, but all of those spokes need to be met. And the only way you can actually do that is to coordinate these efforts that are going on all over the state. So, you know, that's part of it. Part of it is building out that network, getting young people access to the services that they need and knowing how to acquire them. Part of it is redefining the way we do some things in our public education system. In part, looking at the things we've been doing for years that aren't working and either reimagining those things or getting rid of them altogether and doing something that does work. We have alliance districts. They've been in existence since 2012. The idea of alliance districts is you were only supposed to be an alliance district for 5 years. I think one alliance district historically has stopped being an alliance district. Other than that, all we do is we keep adding to them every year because they're not working. We have a commissioners network that the performance of the commissioners network is actually declining every year. It's not working. So, you know, we need to rethink that. We need to rethink graduation standards to make sure that we are offering the type of choice and the type of career paths within school that can keep people engaged. And then certainly a huge part of this is we have to have access for these young people who aren't going to go on to college, aren't going to go on to a trade school, to still have a pathway into the workforce. And there are several opportunities that exist within the state to be able to do that. But our workforce programs are, you know, woefully underfunded. Many times a young person doesn't know how to even access them. And so that, you know, that creates some gaps and some challenges as well. So I think what this plan does is it really outlines and defines a way to close all of those gaps so we can take these young people and we can get them back on the right track and back engaged in the economy and back believing that they have a future again.
Well, it's great, Joe, that your organization is involved here, kind of, you know, as you say, looking at it from a big view and then getting down to the micro level here and saying, let's do X, Y, and Z and really reboot this thing. Joe DeLong, the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities Executive Director and CEO, about his organizations joining now and teaming up with the state as best as we all can to help the 119,000 youths in the state that are deemed to be in some point at risk or disconnected. Joe, always good to speak with you. Take care, and we'll be checking in on this down the road. Thanks, sir.
Paul, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'll tell you, or I'll fake it really well. No, listen, what's going on? I go to the people that know, like this guy here. The website, onlyinbridgeport.com, Lenny Grimaldi here. Lenny, I got to start with a key question, though, Lenny, before we get into anything else. Who won the Pasta Fajoule contest last week? How was the winning?
Well, you know what? I wasn't there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I'm the biggest idiot in the planet. So, right, I'm so smart. You know, I'm going to get a flu shot and a booster on the same day.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And that didn't go well.
Okay. All right.
So I was unable to make it, but they had a great crowd, and it was a good time. So,
good.
Yeah, there you go.
Good. All right. Let's start with the big story here. I guess a little bit of an update here. Another small step with Success Village. What's the latest on that?
So the receiver, the attorney who was appointed by Judge Dale Ratcliffe to bring back some sanity to the madness at Sussex Village, he's reached back to an entity that managed Sussex Village a couple of years ago before the new people came in and threw them out, right? And so talking to people at Sussex Village, they're very confident in this management team that's been brought back. It's called On the Mark. They're familiar with Sussex Village. So they were in place a couple of years ago, and then they were thrown out by the people in charge, Ty Bird, who was then the director of the board. The board's basically been abolished. Mm-hmm. So they brought Barry Knott brought this firm back. And when this firm was in place a couple of years ago, they had a reserve account with over $1 million. Yeah. They had an operating account with over $1 million, and the money went someplace. Mm-hmm. And so Barry Knott is, he's doing an audit of where the money went. So he's following the money. It's probably going to take a few more weeks. But the people in charge decided it was more important to pay millions of dollars to lawyers and consultants rather than fixing the antiquated boiler system and putting the heat and hot water on. So the current leadership there is working in an earnest, at least in the short term, to make sure they don't have any more problems with heat and hot water until they can get a modern system in place. And that's the priority right now. But people at Sussex Village feel much more sense of security.
Yeah.
To the madness that they have experienced, the last couple of years there. So, it's going to take some time, but they'll get to the bottom of where the money went. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, provide a lot of stability over there. It's much needed.
Yeah, Lenny. So it's a good thing they went with the old people. Lenny, I had a call and an email the other day. A gentleman asking, "How is?" And listen, he comes with great credentials. We all know that. How's Barry not getting paid? Is he doing any of this pro bono? Who's paying him? Do you know about that at all, Lenny, or not?
Yes. So that's up to the court. The court's going to decide, right? Here's what's happening. So Bridgeport and Stratford have loaned Sussex Village about $650,000 combined to provide some breathing room because they felt it was a real potential health hazard over there, right? And they've got to get the boiler system resolved. And so Barry Knott has told the owners and residents there he's not going to touch the common fees. So there's basically $500 to $550 a month that are paid common fees, right? And that's supposed to be for the utilities and the taxes that were never paid. Bills were never paid.
Yeah.
And the money just went out the door. So this is going to buy some breathing room. Meanwhile, once they start with the common fees again, and it has begun.
Yeah.
They're going to they will generate hundreds of thousands of dollars a month off the common fees.
Okay.
So what Barry Knott has said, listen, give me a little bit of time. I got to get my arms around this. I'm not going to increase the common charges there at all. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to do is not do what they did before and waste the money and find savings so I can get paid. But he has to make a report to the court about what he's doing there. And ultimately, whatever he's paid,
yeah,
it's got to be signed off by the court.
Okay.
So I don't think it's going to be issued what he's going to get paid.
Okay.
Compared to the millions of dollars that was wasted there. Yeah. And I think it's going to take some time. He's going to right the ship and things will get straightened out there.
Yeah. Lenny Grimaldi is the guest. Before we talk about, I know you want to talk about the White House race here. Lenny, Chief Porter here in the Bridgeport PD. Again, they are handling, and now that the body cam footage has been released of this stabbing suspect, a police-involved shooting. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so it's protocol for the Connecticut Office of Inspector General to review any police-involved shooting. So this was a maddening situation the other day. But Saturday night, in north end of Bridgeport, they get a phone call. There's some deranged person making a scene. Mm-hmm. Police officers showed up. If you want to see some graphic videos, go to onlybridgeport.com, and you can see that I posted the videos released by the Inspector General's office.
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
And so, police officers try to engage the person to come out. The door was locked. They try to unlock it. The guy comes running out, with a knife, screaming, "I'm going to kill all you fill in the blanks."
Yeah.
So, and he stabs police officer Maria Setti about the shoulder, the head, and neck. Police officer Jesse Jimenez, who was on the scene, fired his gun twice, hitting Jackson in the torso. And he's in that the suspect's in stable condition, and Marie said he was went to the hospital and was released. But I mean, that was this. I mean, this guy was just deranged.
Yeah.
Coming out that door, really, really scary. You know, and it really kind of highlights the hazards.
Oh yeah.
Of police work in that situation. So I don't think, you know, this guy is he's been charged with a criminal attempted murder and first degree assault and so on. So it's going to end up in the court system. I don't think this guy's going to see the light of day for a long time.
Yeah, and Lenny, you know, finally on this, you hear from a lot of people who have no idea what they're talking about. Oh, why did they shoot him? All he had was a knife. Well, you know, cops have that rule, I've been told, about having a knife within a certain distance of a police officer. They can still kill you. And we saw that played out here. Yeah.
But it wasn't just having a knife. He went right after the police officer. He just came. He bolted out that door and said, "I'm going to kill you all."
Yeah.
And he had a knife and he was all over her. And, you know, police officer did what he had to do in that situation. You're just looking at it, and the search, you know, I agree with Chief Porter. The police officers handled it, you know, professionally and appropriately. Because he would have done a lot of damage.
Oh, my God, yeah. Lenny, finally, your old boss has announced a rally at the world's most famous arena. We were talking about this, Madison Square Garden. Lenny, you're starting to see a lot of articles here in mainstream stuff like The Hill and Politico. There's worries here. Why is this race still so tight?
Because he's very deft at appealing to people's insecurities.
Mm.
You know, we've talked in the past, you know, how, you know, his base support, it's basically whites without college degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel insecurity, whether it's financially, professionally, educationally, you know, particularly in these rural areas where he has his base of support, you know, he resonates with them. And they do see him. They live vicariously through him, right? Same as, you know, this money messiah who's going to deliver a pot of gold.
Yeah.
We know that's not the reality, but that's how they look at it. And so they're not going to walk away from this guy. They're really locked in. It's really, really baked in. And I was looking at some of these numbers, you know, who turns out. And so right now, Kamala Harris is doing pretty well with suburban voters.
Oh, yeah.
And they represent about 50%, right? The rural voters are about 20%, and the city voters about 30%. But the rural voters are overwhelmingly on his side. And I do think one area where she has an advantage is the early vote.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are coming out strong numbers voting early versus Republicans. So that's going to put a premium on Trump to really turn out that rural base, you know, particularly in those battleground states. So this thing is, it's really close.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I kind of agree with you. Put a gun to my head, I think she might pull it out, but it wouldn't shock me if it went the other way.
No.
I mean, we're 26 days out. You know, it's turnout, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be now. Will there be some kind of October surprise? You know, perhaps. But maybe you and I should go to Madison Square Garden.
Well, I was going to ask you. You got him on speed dial there. At least get us into a suite. We can have chips and beer, and we'll watch the whole thing.
We're going to get the corporate suite, right? We're going to get the Knicks corporate suite. Yeah. We'll hang along with some cocktails, popcorn.
We'll be hanging.
You know,
yeah.
Pasta bazool. And pray that the Secret Service is nearby.
Lenny Grimaldi, only at Bridgeport.com. Lenny, thanks as always, and we'll talk next week. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Okay.
All right. There you go.